came through looking like some villains.
What's up, everyone? You're listening to the Big Chillin' Podcast, the number one podcast in Hartsville, South Carolina. If you can do me a big solid, make sure you follow us on Instagram at bigchillin.podcast for weekly updates and content. Also, another thing, whatever platform you're listening to us on, whether it's Apple Podcast, Spotify, or Radio Public, make sure you hit that follow and subscribe button. I'd really appreciate it. I will love you forever if you do that. All right, with that being said, man, I am really excited today because we have a guest. If you follow us on Instagram, you know who it is. I'm really excited about this episode. I've been looking forward to it for a while. He's an old teammate of mine. We both wrestled at Coker University. This guy is a stud. He is a beast on the mat, and he's also a pretty damn good fighter. So with that being said, he is 1-0 in his mixed martial arts career with his last win coming by first round knockout. Ladies and gentlemen, my good friend, Mr. Ryan Camp.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate all the kind words. It's super flattering.
So, man, how's you've been an athlete your whole life. You've wrestled.
Yeah.
You've done jiu-jitsu tournaments. How is it preparing for a fight?
I don't see it any different than preparing for like wrestling tournaments. I just go in there every day and I put the work in, and then I go home and I recover. The biggest thing for me is, especially for this fight, I've had 6 weeks to prepare for this, which is kind of unusual right now, because a lot of fights, especially coming back from COVID, is short term. And so we've been really blessed with like a full fight camp for this fight. For my last one, I had maybe 3 weeks of serious training before I got in the cage. And so this one has given me time to really hone in the technical aspect, because like you said, I've been an athlete my whole life. My cardio isn't something that we're worried about. I know that I'm going to go in there, I'm going to be able to move forward and push the pace for 9 minutes. Like, they're 3 3-minute rounds.
Right.
It feels so fast when you're in there and doing it. But the technical aspect is something that we've been focused on honing in, because a lot of people will look at wrestlers and they'll be like, oh, they're stepping into a cage, they're going to wrestle. You know, wrestlers can't strike, wrestlers can't kick. So
right.
We've been working on making adjustments to my striking so that I can strike to set up my wrestling and not be a one-dimensional right. fighter. So it's exciting.
Dude, that's awesome. I'm excited for you. It's VFC 75. It's a lightweight bout, November 6th, at the Cotton Eye Jode in Knoxville, Tennessee. Like I said, it's a lightweight bout. It's you versus Parker Wadman.
Yep.
So my next question is, you know, whenever you got a face, you got a name, you know who you're fighting, but, you know, you're also fighting someone who's also just starting off like you. Is there any game plan to go in? Do you do any footage on your opponent, or are you just going there and trust what you know how to do?
Yeah, I leave a lot of that up to my coaches. The way my style has worked since I've been wrestling, I don't like to know a lot about who I'm competing against, because then it becomes more of a mental game for me of I feel like I'm planning too much. So even like in wrestling, I'd look at the bracket, I'd look at my bout, and then in high school I'd tell my dad who I'm wrestling, he'd do all the research and be like, this is what he's gonna do, like this is what you need to look out for. And it's kind of the same thing with this fight. My coaches have obviously watched all the film that they can on him, and I've watched one fight, and I don't want to like look past him or overlook him. Like, he's pretty, I'd say he's average, like all around, which isn't a bad thing to have, especially as an amateur fighter. To be average all around is pretty good starting off amateur, but he's a Taekwondo striker, and his last fight, he won with a Von Flue choke.
Ooh.
And which for me, like, if you lose to a Von Flue choke, it's like, dude, let go of the head when he's in side control. So I'm excited to implement my game plan. We do have a game plan. It's set up my wrestling. I mean, if it's not a secret,
right?
If it was a secret, then I wouldn't say it. But if you just like Google my name, like everything I have is me wrestling.
Right.
So I feel like people when they come to fight me, if they do any sort of research, it'd be hard if all they did was watch my last fight.
Right.
Because I need him in the face. And yeah. I'd be like, oh, shit. Yeah. this guy has wicked knees.
I mean, that's the thing, though, man, is, I mean, it's just like with Habib, right? Everyone knows what he's going to do.
Yeah.
It's just,
you still can't stop it.
You still can't stop it.
Yeah. That's why I'm so excited for his next fight.
Yep.
Is Gaethje, like, I think he can stop it. Like, he hasn't been taken down, which, man, I think is crazy.
Well, I was watching Justin Gaethje's fight against his debut against Michael Johnson. Mm-hmm. And Johnson took him down. He didn't keep him down, but whenever he, like, rocked him, he did, like, a little trip on him. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Justin Gaethje got right back up. I'm looking forward to that fight, too. You know, Justin Gaethje, like you said, you know, he's a beast. You know, he's got high wrestling credentials, too. He was, like, a Division I All-American.
Yeah, we're UNC, you know, Northern Colorado.
Yes, yep. Yeah. He was, like, a two-time state champion in Arizona. So, I mean, he's got the pedigree to stop Habib's takedowns. But, you know, he may stop one. But Habib, you know, he's just a monster, bro. He's going to keep coming.
That's exactly what I think is, because I was sitting there, like, just imagining what that fight's going to be like. And both of them have a crazy pace.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Habib's game plan is going to be what it's always been. Go for the takedown and then maul him on top. And even if Gaethje can stop his takedowns, I don't think that's going to stop Khabib from walking forward like he always does and taking you down.
Right.
So I'm super excited to watch that.
Who do you... it's so hard betting against Khabib, man.
I know. I know. It really is.
Because he's 28-0. In MMA, that's almost impossible. You never see that. It's hard betting against both these guys because I like both. But who do you think gets the nod at the end of the night? And new or and still?
I think it's going to be and still.
And still?
Yeah. I think it's going to be the same situation when McGregor fought Mendez. Mm-hmm. And everyone was like, oh, he's fighting a wrestler. How's he going to react if he gets taken down?
Mm-hmm.
He gets taken down over and over and over. He stands back up, knocks him out. I think it might be the same scenario, except flipped, because Gaethje has the background to stop his takedowns.
Right.
So what's it going to be when Khabib can't get his takedowns? And I think he's going to be able to still implement his game plan and eventually just wear him out enough to take him down and then do what Khabib always does and get on top and just maul you. Maul you. Like his Barboza fight... Like, that was
nasty.
Barboza is a tough, tough fighter to be able to just get mauled for, did they go all five rounds? All three?
It was three.
Yeah, but he got mauled the whole time. The whole time.
Oh, man, that's insane. And it's crazy because Edson Barboza, he's been like a top 10 lightweight
his whole
career.
Yeah.
And Habib just does that to people, man. That's what's insane is, and even if you do, I'll take that back. We all know Justin Gaethje is going to get taken down.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that. But the question is, can he get back up? And so far, there's been people to have success, like Ally Quinta. You know, he was able to get back up. But I mean, it's just like he drags you in the deep water, man. So I'd probably still say Habib, but I mean, Justin Gaethje is a great underdog, too. So
yeah, it's definitely not a throw all your money in on Khabib kind of fight.
Right.
Like, I think that Justin has just about an equal chance of winning because his hands.
Right.
Justin's hands, if he can stop the takedowns enough time to start working his striking,
it was
he has a 100% success finish rate when he wins fights.
For
that's
sure.
Crazy.
He either knocks people out or gets knocked
exactly.
out. There is no in between.
Exactly.
But, man, it was so heartbreaking, his last fight against Tony Ferguson.
Yeah.
That really broke my heart so bad. Because I've been waiting on Habib versus Tony, and you've probably been waiting longer, but I know I was a junior in high school waiting for that fight. Now I'm a junior in college.
I know. I feel like that fight has been supposed to happen for so long.
It has. It's cursed.
I was about to say, it's like the Madden curse of UFC
fights.
Yeah,
right. So the fact that I'm a junior in college now, and I still haven't got that fight, I've just kind of given up on it.
Yeah, it's kind of like false hope. You've got to now expect that it's not going to happen.
Right.
And even when it gets scheduled, you got to be like, it's not going to happen. That way, when it finally does, it's going to be like
it's
Christmas
be
Day.
But do you think when it finally does happen, do you think not saying we won't be excited because we're hardcore fans, but do you think it would just still mean as much as it once did?
I think it will if we get it at the right time. I don't see Khabib fading anytime soon. Mm-hmm. But if we can catch a Ferguson on a 3-fight win streak and then get in there like that hungry, crazy Ferguson. Right. I mean, he shows up every time.
He does.
Crazy. But if we can get those two like peaking at the right time with enough hype around them, and then finally get the fight to go through all right. the way to weigh-ins, right. all the way to the walkout.
No coronavirus.
No
injuries. No coronavirus.
Up until they close that cage and both of them are in it, I will still expect the fight to be called off.
Because that's crazy. Because I forgot. It was like in Brooklyn, and Tony Ferguson tripped over the wire. He tripped over a wire.
Yes.
And he tore his MCL.
Yeah.
It was something like that.
It's crazy that out of all the stuff he does in his trainings, I don't know if you watch his training videos. Dude,
he kicks metal poles.
Yeah.
He kicks metal poles.
It's crazy. And he trips over a wire, and that's what gets us not the
that's
fight.
That's what cancels it. It's insane. Almost everyone in that top five is almost booked. You're going to get Khabib versus Gaethje. It's looking like McGregor's going to fight Poirier in the rematch.
Yeah.
I feel like Tony Ferguson should just go ahead and fight the biggest free agent that the UFC just signed to the lightweight division, which is Michael Chandler.
Yeah.
I think that fight makes a lot of sense.
It does.
Chandler's a big name. Ferguson's a big name. Everyone else seems to be booked. That seems like the fight that should happen next, I feel like. How do you feel about Michael Chandler?
He came over from Bellator, right?
Right.
Big wrestler.
Yeah.
I mean, every time I feel like I have to back the wrestler. The wrestler. As a wrestler, I feel like I have to back him.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to be honest, I haven't watched enough of his fights.
Right.
I mean, once he signed to the UFC, I went and watched some of his highlights from Bellator.
Right.
And he seems scrappy and mm-hmm. He's got that little crazy in him.
He is.
Where I think once he gets the exposure in the UFC, I think he needs to take a fight. I saw him on Twitter talking about how he doesn't want a warm-up fight in mm-hmm. the UFC. And
just
if he's going to fight,
in,
he wants to go to the top. But, I mean, if you've watched it enough, that's not how it works.
Yeah,
I think
sure.
he needs to take a fight so people can see him and
for
see
sure.
what he does. Because he needs, at the end of the day, it's a money game. Mm-hmm. It's a numbers game. And so if he wants to fight the big names, then he needs to get the following behind him. And the best way to do that is to take any fight.
For sure.
And then put on a show. And I think he's, from what I've seen, he's definitely capable. People are, especially when Askren crossed over, I think people are hesitant with those crossover fights now. Because the UFC is deemed the top promotion.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it is. But there's always the handful from the other promotions that can come in and make noises.
Right.
And I think he, out of a lot of them, has the best possibility to do that.
For sure. I think he's definitely a top 10 guy. I mean, him versus anyone in that top five is a good fight.
Yeah.
Him versus Gaethje, Poirier, McGregor, however you want to do it, they're all great fights. I mean, he's got wins over Eddie Alvarez and Benson Henderson. So, I mean, those are two lightweight champions in
yeah.
the UFC. He definitely deserves to be in the top 10. I just don't know if he beats the top guys like Poirier.
Yeah,
and,
right now. Because it's a completely different atmosphere being in the Bellator ring and then coming over and being that Bellator, black sheep almost.
Right.
It's almost like you're the ugly stepchild when you come over.
Right.
And so that's why I think he just needs to take a fight. Take a fight, get used to the way the UFC does it
mm-hmm.
and everything. And then get that win and then start barking.
I mean, that's the thing, right? I mean, there's no gimme fights in the UFC.
Yeah.
I mean, when Eddie Alvarez debuted, I mean, people like to talk shit about Donald Cerrone, but Donald Cerrone's not a gimme fight, man.
Not at all.
It was really making me mad whenever Conor fought him. They were just like, Cerrone, he's washed. I'm like, what do you mean? He's top five in the world right now. How is he washed?
He's fought so many great fighters. And he's lost a lot of fights, but I think the thing about him is when I think it's different from McGregor is we've seen that now McGregor is fighting because, I mean, obviously he likes to fight, but he loves the money.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Donald just loves to fight, which is what makes him so dangerous
right.
because he's not – I mean, the money's always a plus, but I just really think he loves the fight.
He loves his job.
Yeah.
He enjoys that. And I know we talked about McGregor. With the rematch set up, apparently it's supposed to be January 23rd, 2021, potentially in the AT&T Stadium. Dustin Poirier's ranked number two. Conor's ranked number five. 7 years later, these guys are going to rematch. How do you see that fight going?
I like that it's at 170.
Oh, it's going to be at 170?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. I like that it's at 170.
So I didn't even know that. I didn't even know they're going to do it at 170.
Yeah. So on Twitter, McGregor's coach, John Kavanaugh, has been tweeting a lot about why have these two cut down to 155 just to watch them fight at 170 the next day.
Right.
Which, I mean, makes a lot of sense. I think he replied to someone who was, like, bashing on it and was wanting them to fight at 155.
Right.
And he said something like, are you a fight fan or do you have a fetish for looking at sucked down guys in their underwear? I thought that was really funny. But I don't know. Obviously, both of them have progressed so much in 7 years. Like, 7 years of training and learning and growing as fighters is, I think, way too much time in between to be able to even compare what happened in the first fight to what's going to happen in this one. Because they're both completely different fighters.
They are. And, I mean, Poirier, man, I mean, he holds wins over Max Holloway twice. He beat Justin Gaethje in Justin Gaethje's last loss. I mean, he's just a dog, man. And he also has wins over Anthony Pettis, Eddie Alvarez. I mean, the list goes on and on. I mean, McGregor, everyone knows his resume. You know, the double champ.
Yeah.
That's going to be a great fight. I feel like, though, and it's so early, I want to watch a press conference.
I know. About this stuff, I know.
Just to see what it's going to be like. But it's just hard. I mean, it's stylistically, you know, styles make fights.
Yeah.
I feel like it's just a style made for McGregor. It's what he loves to do, is just stand. So I'd probably favor McGregor in it just a little bit.
Yeah, it also, I think it depends on which McGregor decides to show up, because we've seen, like, there's that hungry and determined, like, that early McGregor, what people call it. And
Motivated McGregor.
Yeah, motivated McGregor. I mean, we joke about it, but it's completely different fighter than when he comes in, like, that first Diaz fight. Mm-hmm. It's completely different when he's motivated to fight and not motivated just to make money.
That's
a completely different fighter.
And that's the thing. What do you think about him potentially boxing Manny Pacquiao? Does that excite you at all?
No. No, I'm gonna be honest. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. I think it's cool for the sports, I guess. I think it's cool if you're a boxing fan, because then you get to be like, yeah, our best beat your best.
Right.
But, like, as an MMA fan, like, I don't watch a lot of boxing.
I
think I've maybe watched a total of five.
Five. Maybe like Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, I remember, I think the last one that I actually watched was the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight, and that was like in 2016, maybe 2015.
Yeah.
I know I was in high school. I don't watch a lot of boxing. And so, like, for me, it doesn't excite me to watch an MMA fighter fight a boxer because it's completely different rules.
Mm-hmm. For sure. I mean, McGregor, you know, he's only like 31, 32. He's still in his prime. I want to see him fight the top guys in MMA.
I know, yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Him versus Pacquiao is cool. And, I mean, it's going to generate money. It's going to be a cash grab.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, I'm all for McGregor and Pacquiao getting their money, and I'll watch because I'm a fan.
Yeah.
But it's not what I want to see McGregor do.
Yeah, because there's still – it would make sense to me if – he was running through the division and it seemed like there was no one else for him to fight.
Mm-hmm.
And so now he's got to go to a different form of martial arts to get that competition.
Mm-hmm.
But we've seen that there are still people that challenge him.
Right.
I mean, Khabib dominated him. I think anytime he goes in and fight Diaz, it's going to be a scrap where Diaz can win. And so there's still people in that 155, 170 division.
Right.
That have the potential to best him.
For sure.
And so I would just really like to see him stay in the octagon and try and get back to that decade of dominance.
For sure. And that's the thing, right? I don't mind him and Poirier fighting at 170. I think for some people, right, they may argue, play devil's advocate here, they may argue like, well, how can you win at 170 but then go fight for the 155-pound title?
Yeah.
You know, how does that make sense for a division? And I mean, I get that by Miss Conor McGregor. He can kind of
he can
bend the rules just a little
bit.
Yeah,
he can.
But also, like, even though these guys are cutting weight, the 155, they don't actually weigh 155. Like,
yeah.
Like you said, like, they're ballooning back up to, like, in the 70s. So, you know, that's kind of how I look at it in a way, too. They're just not going to cut weight.
Yeah.
Which I'm fine with that.
Yeah, and I think it was originally supposed to be just a charity fight between the two. I don't know if it still is, but I think that was another reason why they were just doing it at 170, because it was just going to be a fight for charity. But I think, like, in the back of my head, I'm always thinking, whenever Conor takes a 170 fight, is he planning on a permanent move to 170?
Right.
Because we've seen him fight at 45.
Yep.
We've seen him fight at 55.
That 45 cut was brutal, man. Yeah. He looked like a skeleton when he stepped on the scale.
I know. My coach the other day was talking about, he's like, when you go pro, like, you'll be getting paid to cut weight, so you have the potential to drop to 145. And I was like, fuck no. No way.
So I'm glad you brought that up. You know, because you're a lean guy, man.
Yeah.
Like, you're lean. And I mean, you know, this fight that's coming up, it's at lightweight. So how does, you know, I know you've been cutting weight your whole life, so you know how to do it properly. But, I mean, what's it like?
Yeah. So the last three seasons that I wrestled, I've wrestled at 157. And so I feel like growing-wise, like, I'm pretty done. Like, 170, 173 is what I walk around at. Mm-hmm. And anytime I step on the scale and see 175, I get like a mini heart attack. I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I'm getting fat now. Like, this is scary. I need to get back down. So, I mean, 170 to 155 is 15 pounds, but it's not a horrible cut, because when I'm at 170, it's me not watching what I eat and drinking over a gallon of water every day.
Right.
And the amount of work that I put in, and like the amount of sweat that I have, the weight just falls off. Like, I left practice yesterday at 162.
Wow.
I know. And we were all standing there and we were like, eat. Like, you don't need to be 162 right now.
Yeah.
But I'm living off of rice and 89¢ tuna. So, like, I'm eating what I can.
Right.
But the weight isn't a problem. Like, to me, that's the hard part, is getting down to weight. Like, that's the miserable part.
Right.
And so once I step on the scale, and it's different from wrestling too, because I get 24 hours. And so I step on the scale, 155, and it's like a weight lifted off of my shoulder. Like, that's where, for me, a lot of the pressure is. Because once I step in the cage, I feel like this sense of almost calmness.
Right. You're
which
at
is
kind
of, yeah, you're it's, yeah, it's weird, because you would think that standing across the cage, a locked cage from another guy that you know is trained, that's trying to take your head off too.
Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong, I have like a little bit of like jitters and a ton of adrenaline, but there's this like overlying sense of like, it's time.
It's time.
Yeah.
You put in so much hard work that it probably feels like a field day whenever you finally step in there and finally get to do what you've worked so hard for.
Yeah, exactly. Because with wrestling, you're competing every week.
Mm-hmm.
With MMA, it's once every 2-3 months, and so there's a lot of training and not as much time to showcase your training. And so when you do get the opportunity, it's so much fun.
Right. Yeah, and I bet we have some listeners who are probably like, fighting, wow.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
like, how does one do that?
I know.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
but it's just, I mean, like I said earlier, you know, you've been competing your whole life in wrestling and jiu-jitsu. And some people don't even understand that. They don't get why people even wrestle, you know? So, how'd you get into the sport to begin with?
Which one, wrestling or MMA?
Wrestling.
Wrestling? Man. So, my family moved from Kansas City to Georgia back in 2009. So, I was in, like, sixth grade. And I kind of got tricked into wrestling, because they took our gym class, all the guys, and they brought us over to the high school, and the wrestling coach was there, and we played like 2 or 3 games in the wrestling room, and then he was like, who wants to wrestle? And I was like, we played games. Like, all wrestling is, we're playing toe tag.
We're playing. The mood just changed.
Yeah. I was like, I'll play games all day. Right. So I signed up for wrestling. And then by the time I found out that it wasn't all games,
right,
I was sucked in. And I don't know. I've always, like, even in sixth and seventh grade, when I was, like, too young to really, like, fully understand mm-hmm. what, like, hard work was, mm-hmm. I just have always enjoyed that feeling of, like, pushing yourself to the point where you feel like you're dying.
Right.
And there's something about when that's over and you realize you're not dead. And that, like, that's almost a fulfillment for me. So that's why, like, I committed so much to wrestling and training and competing, and that is because it was a way for me to test myself personally every time, because you can't blame it on a bad defense as a team or a kicker. Like, every time you go out there and you step on the mat, it's you versus the other guy. Mm-hmm. And if you win, cool. Like, that's awesome. Your training paid off. And if you lose, then you got to learn to put it on yourself and fix it. And so I spent a lot of time wrestling. And then when I went to college, I did my first 2 years up in Iowa. And my sophomore year, I had a neck injury, and the doctors up there were like, well, you know, we're not gonna let you keep wrestling here because we don't want you to, like, get paralyzed or a serious injury if you want, like, a life after wrestling. And so I had to swallow that. But each day, like, I woke up and I wasn't doing something, I was like, fuck. Like, I need, like, it's...
You need something.
Training that hard for so long and then just having it all taken away, like, I felt very out of place. So I had to find something. And I got a message on Facebook from Kopi. Shout out Kopi if you listen to this. We stay in touch a little bit. But I don't even remember how he found me or how he would know that I was interested. But he messaged me and was like, hey, we're starting an MMA gym in Alta, which is a very small town in Iowa. And he was like, come out and see if you like it. So I showed up the first day, and he pulled up in his truck with 3 full-size wrestling mats in the back. And we're at this old, like, not abandoned, but it's a school that's not used anymore in Alta. Right. And we had to carry the mats up to the third floor. And basically, we had rented out an old classroom. And so we laid down all the mats, cleaned everything, because I don't know how long it had been since that classroom has been used, but it was, I remember walking in and just immediately, like, feeling gross.
Had, like, roaches.
Like, the water fountains had, like, crusted over and had, like, that chlorine or whatever, like, gunk to it.
Right.
And so we scrubbed and cleaned the whole place up, and then there were maybe 8 of us, and we all threw in $5, to, like, just have a reason to keep going. And so that was my first time seriously getting a feel for mixed martial arts. We would bring in a jiu-jitsu guy from Omaha and then do some striking and then obviously some wrestling. He was a coach up at Northwestern, and I think it's in Nebraska. I'm not sure. The Midwest is kind of all the same. But that was Warrior MMA, and they're doing really well right now. They just had one guy, Colton, win a belt, an amateur belt at 145, I think, and then they have another guy that won a belt the same night. I'm not sure what weight he fights at. He wasn't there when I was there. Mm. But they're doing really well, and I keep in contact with Kopi a little bit. He was joking because I always seem to schedule my fights on the same night that they have fights.
Wow.
So he can never make it to one of them. But I like keeping up with them, because that's, to me, when I look back, that's how I got into it. So I'm very thankful for that, even though at the time, it's not the same way anymore. At the time, it was kind of just a hole in the wall.
Right.
Use that as a place for kind of us to stay off the streets and give us something to do.
Yeah.
But then I moved back here, and I started seriously training at Ascension MMA with the Sun Sows.
Mm-hmm.
So Ralphie fought Morales and Garbrandt in the UFC.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so he won his first one against Morales, lost the rematch, and then he was the Garbrandt fight where Garbrandt had the walk off, and I think the first, yeah.
What? Yeah. Wait, him? Yeah. Holy cow, yeah. Dude. He's like, because he fought in like the WEC, right?
Yeah.
WEC, wow. Yeah, man.
And he was the number one contender, or maybe number two for a long time, and he's really good. Him and his brother, there's actually three of them, but at the gym I was at, it was him and Freddie. And their knowledge was crazy.
Dude, that's crazy. I didn't know you were training. I didn't know you.
Yeah,
were training.
They're bro. Really good people, and their skill level is so high, and their ability to read technique and then adjust it to your game was so awesome. Like, I was only there for I think 2 months, but the amount of experience and knowledge I got there,
right?
I wouldn't want to have spent those 2 months anywhere else, because that's. It's not a lot of times where you get to train with the number three guy in the UFC. Dude,
that's insane.
Yeah.
I mean, he's fought the who's who. He's fought, I mean, I was playing with him on, like, the UFC
4. Yeah.
Like, UFC Undisputed 3. I remember I was playing with him on the game, man. That's crazy because I mean, he's fought the who's who, man. I mean, he's fought Uriah Faber, I believe, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's a veteran, bro.
His jiu-jitsu is awesome.
Yeah. And he holds that win over Marlon Moraes, too.
Yep.
Like you said. So that's, wow. That's crazy, man. The bantamweight division's on fire in the UFC.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad that those lower weights right now are getting revived. Mm-hmm. Because for a long time, it was anytime a fight under 145 was on the card, mm-hmm. you were like, these lightweights are going to play pitter-patter for a little bit. But no, now... Like, these past fights, I don't remember, it might have been the belt at 135, whichever one Cejudo gave up that he had.
Yeah, he gave up both, or 125, and then he had beat Marlon, because TJ Dillashaw popped for EPO.
Yeah.
So it was him versus Marlon, he beat Marlon, and then I think he had vacated the 125, and then he beat Dominic Cruz, and then he retired. I don't believe he's really.
Yeah, me neither. Me neither. So I think it might have been that 125 belt for the vacant one.
Mm-hmm.
With I don't even remember the names of the two guys that fought, but it was such a different fight than I was expecting for a 125. Like, they sat there and threw hands, and that's. Like, as a wrestler, I love watching that. Because I'm like, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to do.
I think it was the champion right now, like, Davison Figueiredo.
Yeah.
Beat Joseph Benavidez.
Yeah, and that was a rematch, too, wasn't it?
Yeah, rematch, yep. Yeah, it's crazy, because Davison Figueiredo, like, he's a pretty big dude. Like, he could be a 45er if he wanted to. I feel like what really hurt that division, and it sounds bad, but it's... Demetrius Johnson, man, he was so dominant, you know, over that division that I think for some people, if they weren't like a true fan, they kind of got like, kind of became stale in a way.
Yeah.
But man, I wish the UFC wouldn't have traded Demetrius Johnson for Ben Askren at the time.
Looking back on it.
At the time, I was like, dude, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And then now I'm just like, Ben Askren doesn't even fight anymore.
Yeah. Hey, he had a good bulldog choke.
Hey. Oh,
and
man.
And he gave us a highlight reel for knees in the face for the next century. So
for sure.
he did his dues in the UFC.
Mean, he definitely made I mean, it wasn't intentionally, but he definitely skyrocketed Jorge Masvidal.
Oh yeah,
for sure.
Oh
I
yeah,
because I mean, Askren had so much hype. People were saying like he would beat George St. Pierre, he would beat Habib. Like he was undefeated at the time, and he just had so much hype. And then Masvidal just came in just to. Grabbed it all in 5 seconds.
It's hard to defend a knee to the face when you dive in for a takedown right off the bell.
For sure. It is. There's also a fight tonight, actually, between
Ortega
and the Korean Zombie. Who do you have in that fight?
I feel like I say this anytime we talk about a fight, but it is going to be a great fight. Ortega, I mean, I could be completely wrong with everything I'm about to say, but
I'm pretty sure
that Ortega was the first person to finish Frankie Edgar.
He was.
And then the Korean Zombie is the second person to finish Frankie Edgar.
You are 100% correct.
So we're about to watch two people who are one of the very few people to not only beat but finish Frankie Edgar.
Frankie Edgar, yeah.
And I think right now when a lot of people think of I just forgot his name.
Korean Zombie?
No, the Ortega? Other. Yeah, Ortega. when people think of Ortega, like they think of the Holloway fight.
Yep.
And how he got pieced up.
He did.
But he did. But in my opinion, that's the best Holloway I've ever seen in a fight. And so to get, I mean, don't get me wrong, he got beat up very bad. But to get beat up that bad by someone of that high caliber,
right,
that doesn't take away from anything that Ortega is capable of doing.
Right.
And his ground game and his striking put together, like, I think the Korean Zombie is known for just biting down on that mouthpiece and being able to take those heavy shots and keep moving forward. Mm-hmm. But I'm pretty confident, if you're listening and you're betting money, don't blame me if he doesn't win. But if I was a betting man, I'd bet my money on Ortega.
On Ortega?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's insane. Brian Ortega's 14-1. He's a stud.
He is.
I mean, his jiu-jitsu is second to none. I mean, he's out here hitting flying triangles.
Yeah.
Like it's insane. He's a beast. Last time, the Holloway fight you're talking about, it was UFC 231, December 8th, 2018.
Yeah.
So he hasn't fought in 2 years. And I think that's my only problem is, you know, the Korean Zombie, he's been active.
Mm-hmm.
Although he's riding a two-fight win streak, two first-round knockouts. I mean, the Korean Zombie's also a stud, too. I teeter-totter back and forth, too, because we don't know what Ortega looks like.
Exactly, I mean, besides the fact that he's bald.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, he cut his hair. That's why he's going to lose, bro.
I was just thinking about that while you were talking. I was like, what if it's like Samson?
Yeah,
like he cut off all of his hair, and now he's not going to be the same.
Yeah, I was thinking that, too. I was like, oh, he's definitely about to lose now. He cut off his hair. But, that's such a tough fight, but for me personally, you're going Ortega?
I'm going Ortega, yeah.
I'm probably just going to say the Korean Zombie just because he's been more active.
Yeah.
So I'll take Zombie on this one.
Yeah, and that is tough being out of the cage for 2 years. Like, you can still train every day mm-hmm. for 2 years, but not competing is completely different than if you're in the cage at least, even if it's just once a year.
Right.
It's such a game changer having that competition versus just sparring.
Mm-hmm. For sure. So we can transition here. Ryan, on the first couple episodes, you know, we were talking basketball, and I asked my two friends who was their Mount Rushmore. For you, I'm asking, who's your Mount Rushmore in mixed martial arts?
Oh, man. Because
I want to see what you say for this one, man.
Okay. My Mount Rushmore is probably going to be more my favorite fighters.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been watching MMA and the UFC probably since I was maybe like a junior, maybe sophomore in high school.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it feels like it's been a long time, but I don't watch really a lot of old fights.
Right.
So when people talk to me about like the old greats, I'm like, yeah, that's cool, but cool, I know nothing. And I think it's the same thing when you talk about like LeBron, like who's the greatest in basketball. It's gonna be who's the greatest in your generation.
Right.
And so for me, that's how it is when I think about MMA. And so for me, my favorite. And if I'm making a Mount Rushmore for MMA fighters, I'm definitely going to put my favorites on it.
Right.
Rose Namajunas.
Whoa,
yeah.
Rose.
Yes.
Okay. Are you giving me four or are you going to give me five? You can do five if you want. I've been giving people five.
Okay. Rose Namajunas, just because...
She's a beast. Thug
she
Rose.
Is.
Thug and Rose. She's a beast.
Yeah. The way... Oh, I could go in on her, but I'll at least give you my names. So Thug Rose, I'm putting Max Holloway up there. John Jones. I have to put John Jones on there. I don't care how much controversy is around his name.
Right.
When he fights, he's he's a fighter. Right. He wins. There's no
right.
doubt.
Right.
I'm gonna put DC on there, even though hey. I just put John Jones on there. I'm gonna put DC on
right.
there,
right?
Because he also wins when he does, stud, and despite the Stipe loss, when he loses, it's to a controversial John Jones.
Right.
So I'm putting DC up there, and. You gotta put Mighty Mouse on there.
Mighty Mouse.
You have to. If we're respecting the greats,
right?
Then you have to look at what he did longevity wise. And I almost
broke Anderson Silva's title reign.
Yeah, I almost want to put Jose Aldo on there.
Jose Aldo.
I almost do, but the McGregor fan in me won't let me.
Thinks that 13 seconds.
Yep. The McGregor fan in me won't let me put Jose on there.
Right. I mean, he was such a stud, man. For Jose Aldo, I feel like he should fight Dominick Cruz next.
I think that would be
fun.
You
know what I mean? Two WEC, both, you know, bantamweight, featherweight champs. To me, he's already tried making a title run, and he's already been featherweight champion. To me, he should just have a fun fight.
Yeah.
I don't really see – I'm not saying Dominick Cruz can't get back to the title because he's always going to be up there. But I feel like just have a fun fight, Aldo versus Dominick Cruz.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
But – man, my Mount Rushmore is a little different. So, my number one, George St. Pierre. Gotta have George St. Pierre.
Yeah.
Two-division champ. You know, all the losses that he had to Matt Hughes, Matt Sierra, you know, he avenged both of them. So, for me, I'd say George. I love Daniel Cormier, man. I'm with you.
You can't not.
Daniel Cormier, bro. I'm a huge... And I think a lot of that is because... in the last decade, the only people who have been light heavyweight champion is Jones and Cormier. And I remember Jones's run as a kid. Obviously, we got to see some of it, you know, when he fought over St. Preux and Tiago and Anthony Smith. But when I was just getting into MMA, it was Daniel Cormier versus John Jones. And with all that controversy happened with John Jones, I was, like, with Daniel Cormier watching his, like, title reign. So I'm kind of bigger fan of Daniel Cormier than I am John Jones.
Yeah.
But only because I've watched his reign come up. So I'd say George. I'd say Daniel Cormier. I got to say Khabib Nurmagomedov. I got to say him. Israel Adesanya. And
I like watching him fight.
And, man, I want to say Mighty Mouse. But... I'm going to say Henry Cejudo, man.
Okay.
Henry Cejudo.
Putting Cejudo on the MMA Mount Rushmore.
I'm going to put Cejudo. And only because, I mean, you know, he got that loss against Demetrius Johnson back, which I'd love to see a trilogy fight between those two.
Yeah.
I hope it happens one day. But, you know, he went up to bantamweight, which is something that DJ didn't do. I think he would have done eventually. But he never really got a chance to after that trade and everything. But I'd say Cejudo because, I mean, and also he beat Dillashaw, EPO Dillashaw, and he did beat Dominick Cruz.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, especially maybe in like 5-10 years when we're looking back and someone else is having this conversation, I think a lot of people are going to overlook Cejudo just because of how short. Like, he did a lot of great things, like, undeniably one of the best fighters to step in the UFC octagon, but he did it in such a short amount of time that I think people are going to overlook him versus like a Jose Aldo who did it for 10 years.
Right.
And so I think that's the difference when you're looking at Cejudo versus Demetrius Johnson is Cejudo might have done more, but he did it in such a less amount of time, which could also be an argument on why like he deserves to be on Mount Rushmore over Mighty Mouse is because he did all this stuff in way less time.
Yeah. Talking about two division champion. He's got an Olympic gold medal in,
yeah.
in wrestling. I
yeah.
mean, the dude's a stud. I don't think he's retired. But if he comes back, I don't really want to see him fight at 145. I'm not saying he can't get the job done.
Yeah.
But I think Alexander Volkanovski is a pretty tough task to overcome.
Oh, yeah.
And also, I got to ask you this question, because on Instagram, there's a picture. You met the one and only Max Bless.
I did.
Holloway.
I did.
So what was that like? Tell me about it.
It was cool because I went to a fight in Omaha, Nebraska. I don't remember what promotion it was on. Yeah, I can't even think of the abbreviation. But Max had a teammate fighting on it, which is why he was there. And then Paige Van Zandt, I think their fiancés at the time, was fighting on it, so she was there. So I got to meet both of them.
Dang.
Yeah, I flex the Max Holloway picture a little more, yeah, just because it holds some weight.
Yeah.
But it was. Don't get me wrong, I love Paige Van Zandt.
Dude, Paige Van Zandt. She's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. As far as like female MMA fighters, I've had a crush on her. I've had a crush on that chick in Bellator. She's really badass. Valerie, I can't remember her name, but you know what I'm talking about?
Maybe I do. Maybe I do.
Oh, wait.
Oh yeah, Valerie. Oh, yeah.
Come on, bro. She's like everywhere, bro. She's like Bellator's poster child in a way. Valerie, I don't know how to say her last name. But this chick right here.
Yeah.
See, I've got a crush on her and also Michelle Watterson.
Yes.
The karate
hottie. The karate hottie.
She's
yeah, it's even better when they're great fighters, like
for sure.
Michelle.
It's insane.
Yeah.
Like, you look at her and she's like a model, and then she's over here like
kicking ass,
super kicking people in the face. Yeah. I'm just like, wow, that's the chick I want.
Yeah. So, they had like a little meet and greet before the fight, and I got to meet Max Holloway, and it wasn't anything like extended, but it was cool to just kind of like be in that presence, and see that, like, hey, we're the same height. I'm standing next to you. You're like, you're a real person. And I think, cause my big thing with sports is it's always been hard for me to, hardcore fan over professional athletes,
right,
especially in MMA, because to me, it's like, that's what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always weird for me to wear the name of someone on my back when I'm trying to get to where they're at.
Right.
And so when I met him, that was kind of like a switch for me. Of like,
you were sizing them up.
maybe a little bit, yeah. I was like, oh, 145 champ. All right. Let's go,
bro.
But no, it was just really cool to meet him, shake hands, say, hey, cool.
Like, admire then, what you do.
Yeah.
That's insane. Would you see, and that's what's crazy about Max Holloway, right? He's like 28 years old and he already has like a Hall of Fame career. In a way.
He's blessed.
Blessed is the best, baby.
Yep.
But I got in a fight on Twitter. I was Twitter beefing with somebody. Because of his last fight against Alexander Volkanovski. I thought Max Holloway won that fight. Thank you.
Yep.
I thought I don't want to say it was robbed. It was a robbery. Because it was close.
Yeah.
But I thought Max won rounds 1, 2, and 3. And then Volkanovski just got the last two rounds.
Yeah, I think that's what's hard with title defenses. I think it would have been a different outcome if there wasn't a belt on the line, but that's one of the big things, especially if you're the challenger and it's that close of a fight. You can't leave it up to the judges because, mm-hmm, in my opinion, like, obviously I think Max Holloway won, but at the same time, if it's that close of a fight, it's almost every time going to be given to the and still.
Mm-hmm.
Because in my eyes, like, you, if you're going to take the belt from someone, you need to do it in a way to where there's no question.
Right.
And like, Max Holloway did a great job, fought a great fight. But you can't leave it up to the judges, especially recently with the way judging has been going.
For sure.
Like, that's my biggest nightmare, is having to leave it to a judge's hands. I don't like it being left to someone else because,
right,
you never know how they're going to read it that night.
Right. So whenever you fight November 6th, you're saying, what's your prediction for the fight?
Oh, I've been over so many different outcomes in my head. Like, I'll lose sleep at night because as soon as I lay down and close my eyes, I'm immediately just like picturing like any way it could go. But ideally, like, I set up my ground game with my striking, and then I maul him, and the ref has to step in. That's how I realistically see it going, just because I'm very confident in my grappling and my ability to put damage once I'm on top of you. And I would love for it to be another first round finish. Like, dude, get in and get out and get my job done. Yeah. Oh, if there were knees to the face, I would have been training that this whole camp, but there's no knees to the face in Tennessee as amateurs.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
I know. My whole game plan out the window.
For real? So Tennessee, you can't throw knees?
Not to the face. You can throw them to the body. I think you can throw elbows to the body, but no elbows or knees to the face.
That's insane. What about, and I'd assume it's probably the same, like, to a grounded opponent. You can't, you know, never there.
Yep.
Wow. That's crazy.
I know. Yeah. Doesn't change much. Right. Because, honestly, I've been working a lot of... So in my first fight, he was crawling up the cage, and there's actually a video of the guy that was in my corner maybe 15 minutes before my fight, showing me if I get into this overhook or underhook position and he's against the cage hitting that switch knee, and then I went and hit it in the fight. And so I've been working different ways because I like that clinch work on the cage. I feel very comfortable in dirty boxing situations versus being at range and a distance.
Right.
So I've been trying to work different ways to be up close and still inflict a lot of damage with power shots, because there's a lot, I don't know if you've taken a knee to the face. I haven't taken a knee
to the face, and I don't plan on it either,
but I imagine there's a lot of power coming from the knee. And so I've been trying to find ways to generate that same amount of force without using my knee. I'll tell you, his face felt like a sack of pudding when it hit my knee. Like, it was soft. I thought it was going to be hard. It was soft.
Wow. I mean, I put the clip of you knocking him out on the Big Chill Instagram, and that thing is nasty, dude. I remember whenever, before you accepted that fight, I remember everyone, and shout out to my Coca-Cobras who are listening.
Yeah.
I remember everyone was at the boathouse, and I got there, and I was like, yo, where's Ryan? And people were just like, oh, yeah, he just got a call that he's having the fight. He went running.
Yeah.
So it's insane. And for this camp, you're training at Indian Land MMA.
Yep.
And for the first camp, you weren't there.
No. So my first camp, I wouldn't even call it a camp, because I got the fight for my first one in March.
Right.
And I was still on campus. And we were wrestling, doing off-season wrestling. So I was still training wrestling, but I wasn't getting a whole lot of striking in. And so I didn't move back home to Atlanta until the end of May. And the fight was June 15th. So I had 3 weeks at a Team Octopus of jiu-jitsu. And then all my striking was, because they didn't know that... I had a fight. Like, I just needed a place to train,
right.
And I wanted to just throw my hands a little bit. So I literally had 3 weeks of jiu-jitsu training and fitness boxing.
That's insane.
Like, not even technical striking, fitness boxing. And so it was me and like 50-year-old ladies just throwing hands on heavy bags. And so that's where I have a lot of confidence for this fight. Because I feel way more prepared.
Right. And you're actually having like a camp.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy, man. I mean, I don't know, man. Sometimes I think about it, like, wanting to do a fight, and then I'm just like, nah. Like, it'd be cool to, like, say I did it at least once, but I'm just like,
yeah.
You know, I think I like the way my nose is, so I don't want to get it, you know, broken or anything.
You don't want that flathead nose.
Facts, bro, facts. I was watching Dustin Poirier, his interview with Ariel Helwani, and his nose is like, crooked to the side. But Ryan, I got a question. So you're just starting your MMA career.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, you're 1-0. Your last fight came by first round knockout. The real question is, do you have an MMA nickname yet?
I do not have a nickname. I've thought about a lot of different ones, and I realize that I don't want to give myself a nickname.
Right.
That feels a little conceited. I'm just waiting for the right one
to come along.
So I posted on my Facebook that I was going to be on this podcast, and one of my mom's friends saw the picture and thought it was me promoting my fight. Right. And so she thought that my nickname was Big Chillin'. She thought my nickname was Big Chillin'.
Ryan Big Chillin' Camp.
Yeah. I was like, I like it a little bit.
That don't sound too bad.
Yeah.
I mean, Big Chillin' Camp, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But listen, if you don't have one, it's all right. Because your boy Zach's got you covered.
You've got ideas for me?
I've got some ideas for you, man.
Okay.
So, I like this one a lot because whenever you did that knee, this is what I was saying the whole time. I kind of went a little Karate Kid,
ooh,
Cobra Kai. I said, body bag.
Body bag. Okay.
Body bag. Ryan, body bag, camp.
All right.
Because when you knock the dude out, get him a body bag.
Yeah, he needed a body bag.
So, I said body bag. I also said Claymore.
Okay.
Claymore.
Yeah.
I got Cut, nickname Cut. I don't know if that was cool.
Cut.
And then this one's a little generic, but I got Champ.
Champ.
Ryan Champ Camp. I don't know. Just
that name will that title will come eventually. I don't think I'll make a Champ my nickname because because eventually I'll be able to be the champ, and then also have a nickname.
Right, become a 2-division champ.
Yeah.
Triple champ. But yeah, no, I like the nickname Body Bag, though.
I like that one, too.
That joke's pretty dope.
Yeah.
Because whenever he knocked him out, I was like, Body Bag! Get him a Body Bag! Like, that's what I was saying the whole time, so I was hyped. So that's those were a couple of nicknames that I just thought of.
Yeah, I want... No, I don't want him to retire, but by the time I get to the UFC or a big promotion, I would like Whitaker to either have a new nickname or be out of the game long enough to where I could take on the Reaper.
That's a
because
nasty nickname.
Yeah,
that's,
I like that nickname a lot.
Dude, I mean, he's got Bobby Knuckles. I mean, he could...
We could work something out. Whitaker, if you're listening to this, I would like to... propose a friendly conversation about your nickname the Reaper.
Right.
So get back to me, please.
Right, for sure. I mean, you don't need the Reaper, Robert Whitaker. You got Bobby Knuckles.
Yeah, you don't need
the Reaper. But that is that's a stone cold nickname.
Yeah,
for sure.
I like that one.
That really is. But so my next question for you, man, is because you're 23, you're young, you're educated, you could get a job anywhere you'd want and make good money. And you don't have to fight.
Yeah,
but
this is what
you enjoy doing.
Yeah.
It's your passion.
Yeah.
So for the long-term goal, do you see yourself one day fighting in the UFC?
Yeah, for sure. Because if I didn't, I don't think I would be doing it. Mm-hmm. This isn't one of those sports where you could train it as a hobby and compete mm-hmm. as a hobby because it's so dangerous to step into the cage and be full contact with someone. So if I didn't have the confidence that eventually I would make a big pro career, I don't think I would be in here. And like you said, I could go get a job anywhere I wanted and make decent money.
Right.
So I'm choosing to take this route because it's what I want. It's like you have two sides of the coin. You have people who fight because they can't work anywhere, mm-hmm. and so they have to fight, mm-hmm. and that's what motivates them. And then on the other side of the coin, you have people who have opportunities elsewhere, but choose to do this because it's what they love and it's what they want to do. So, yeah, I fight because I love fighting, I love competing, I love testing myself, and I think given enough time, I don't want to put an ultimatum on it.
Right.
But I want it to happen fast. Like,
for sure.
Yeah.
Well, hey, man, you know, Dana White's got a show called Dana White's Contender Series.
I know,
man.
And a lot of people from North Carolina have been making noise on it.
Right.
So.
Right. I saw, I forgot his name, but he wrestled at Newberry. He was just on there not too long ago.
Really?
I'm sorry, I forgot his name. But, I mean, I know he was like a former Newberry wrestler, and he was just on the show.
Yeah, and I think the Limestone coach was on it. He lost. But I think he was on either the Limestone or the Lander. I think it was Limestone because we don't like Limestone. And
right.
that's what I remember was like hearing that he was on it and was like, oh, gross. Why? So, yeah.
Right. That's insane, man. And I got faith that you're going to make it there and be successful, man. I mean, just the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you carry yourself. And also, it's what you enjoy doing. It's your passion. You're... You know, you're it's your passion, you're obsessed with it, and if you want to be successful in anything, you have to have that mindset.
Yeah, for sure.
I have no doubt that you know, you're going to be successful in fighting or in whatever else you choose to do in life.
Yeah, and so, then you can say when I do make it, like, this podcast will probably resurface
for sure,
like 4 or 5 years from now.
For sure.
And, like, holy, and they'll be like, wow, Zach Dixon called it.
That's right. Zach Dixon, baby. Called it first. But, yeah, man, I have one more question for you.
Okay.
Because it's about a fight, and I want to get your take on it.
Okay.
All right? Because this definitely is going to be, besides the McGregor fight, this is definitely going to be the next big, huge moneymaker for the UFC. You ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
You probably know what it is.
Yeah.
Israel Adesanya fighting Jon Jones.
Oh man, it has to happen eventually. I love Adesanya. I think his style is awesome. I think the way he goes about his champion mindset is legendary. But anyone you put in front of Jon Jones, I find it hard to bet against Jon Jones.
Right.
I find it hard to pick anyone against Jon Jones. I think it'll be fun.
The build-up's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
The smack talk, it's going to be second to none, bro.
Oh, I had to unfollow Adesanya on Twitter because it was just clogging up my feed. Of all of his trash talk. Like before the fight, there wasn't a lot, but immediately after, just to everyone, to any fans, anyone, men, women, it didn't matter. He was just slinging at him.
Right.
And I love that, but on my Twitter feed, I like to keep it kind of chill. So
right, yeah, a little relaxed.
So yeah, I'm giving him time. I'm giving him time to take the foot off the gas, and then I'll follow him back. But no, Jon Jones. I'll make the early prediction before it's even a thing, I'll say Jon Jones, I'll reassess later.
But. Right. I think that's the thing with me is it's kind of like, you know, Jones, he's talented. I mean, he's got controversy around his name.
Oh, yeah.
And that's been my biggest thing as a fan. It's just like, you know, with the pictograms or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's why he's not on my Mount Rushmore, but I do say he's the greatest light heavyweight in UFC history. Him versus Adesanya is a great fight. I feel like on the feet, Adesanya is the better striker.
Mm-hmm.
But this isn't a kickboxing match. It's an MMA fight. I see Jones definitely using his wrestling.
Yeah.
And that's why I kind of feel like Jones wins. But we also don't know if Adesanya can get back up either.
Exactly.
Keep it standing.
Yeah. And you saw the way Adesanya just ate Costa's leg up. Like, it's hard to implement wrestling when you can't put any weight on that front leg.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Jones has to, obviously he's going to because he's a highly intelligent fighter, but he's got to address that and not make the same mistake Costa did by just keep repeatedly taking those outside leg kicks to where it's to the point where every time you take a step forward, it's shooting pain through your body.
Right.
So I think that's going to be the big game changer.
For sure. I like to see a fight sooner rather than later, especially because I feel like the time gap's kind of closing, you know, with Jon Jones wanting to go to heavyweight.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know he vacated the lightweight title, which I kind of wish he would have kept it.
Yeah.
Because it would have been like a cool super fight,
middleweight
versus light heavyweight. But I like to see the fight sooner or later. I think the earlier the fight is, I think it benefits Jon Jones.
Mm-hmm.
If it's later, I think it benefits Adesanya.
Yeah.
That's going to be a good one. I can't wait for that one.
Yeah, later. Sign it for next month.
For sure. Might as well, bro. Why not?
You don't need a long build up for it. People are gonna watch it. You could sign it next week and then I guarantee you'd still push the same numbers.
For sure. Facts. But November 6th, you're fighting. I'm excited for you, brother. Best of luck.
Thank you.
Can people still buy tickets for the fight?
People can buy tickets for the fight. There's links in my Instagram bio. I've made posts on Facebook that have the link on it. If you can't make it, I hope that everyone does come out because the noise is much better than watching it at home, but there will be a pay-per-view link. They haven't put that out yet, but when they do, I plan on posting that too because
yes.
I know I've had people ask me for that.
Yes, sir. I will post that. You can also follow Ryan on Instagram at Ryan_camp2.
Yep.
Ryan, my man, I appreciate the time, brother.
Thanks for having me. Thank you.
Got my drink spilling. all these haters mad now, cause I've been winning. Yeah, I'm nice with